Good evening. This is Akashvani. I am Valsa Williams with the news at 9. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi speaks with Iranian President Dr. Masoud Pezeshkian on Eid and Nowruz. Both leaders express hope the festive season brings peace, stability and prosperity in West Asia. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh emphasises need for a robust military supported by prepared citizens to protect the nation under any circumstances. Government approves additional 20% allocation of commercial LPG for priority sectors like restaurants, hotels, canteens and dhabas run by state or local bodies. 22 countries, including United Arab Emirates, UK, Germany, France and Japan, urge Iran to cease attacks and reopen Strait of Hormuz. Eid ul-Fitr marking culmination of holy month of Ramzan being celebrated with religious fervour. In sports, Abhay Singh enters final of Indian Open squash in Mumbai, and in Orleans Masters badminton, Tanvi Sharma loses to Nozomi Okuhara of Japan in women's singles semi-final. Prime Minister Narendra Modi today spoke with Iranian President Dr. Masoud Pezeshkian and conveyed Eid and Nowruz greetings. Both leaders expressed hope that this festive season would bring peace, stability and prosperity in West Asia. In a social media post, Prime Minister Modi condemned attacks on critical infrastructure in the region, which threaten regional stability and disrupt global supply chains. He reiterated the importance of safeguarding freedom of navigation and ensuring that shipping lanes remain open and secure. Mr. Modi appreciated Iran's continued support for the safety and security of Indian nationals in Iran. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh has said modern warfare now goes beyond borders, with national security covering economic, digital, energy and food sectors. Addressing the Raising Day and Diamond Jubilee celebrations of Sainik School Ghodakhal in Uttarakhand via video conferencing today, Mr. Singh stressed the need for a strong military backed by alert and prepared citizens, noting that conflicts today also involve cyber, space and information warfare.
In today's warfare, countries are weakened through economic warfare. Through cyber warfare, entire systems can be affected. In the space domain as well, competition and security have become major issues. Most importantly, today is the era of information warfare, where controlling the narrative has become an important part of warfare.
Addressing another program in Haldwani on the completion of 4 years of the BJP government in Uttarakhand, Mr. Singh said India has taken a clear stand on the ongoing conflict in West Asia. He emphasized that a solution should be found through dialogue and diplomacy. 22 countries today urged Iran to halt attacks and reopen the Strait of Hormuz, warning of global consequences. In a joint statement, countries including the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Japan, South Korea and Australia condemned Iran's attacks on commercial vessels and energy facilities in the region. They warned that the impact of such actions would be felt worldwide, particularly by vulnerable populations, and called for immediate de-escalation. Iran has confirmed that the United States and Israel carried out a joint strike on its Natanz nuclear facility earlier today. The Iranian Atomic Energy Organization said the site was hit, but there has been no radioactive leakage. Despite the escalation, Iran has signalled limited flexibility, indicating it may allow some merchant shipping through the Strait of Hormuz to avoid a complete disruption of global energy supplies. Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian has said Tehran is not seeking war with its neighbours, instead blaming the United States and Israel for escalating tensions. In southern Lebanon, Israeli strikes have intensified over the past few hours. Lebanese health authorities say at least 40 healthcare workers have been killed since this phase of the conflict began. Hezbollah says it has responded with coordinated drone and rocket attacks on Israeli military positions near Safed and other northern areas. In the United Arab Emirates, the Ministry of Defense confirmed within the last hour that air defense systems intercepted 3 ballistic missiles and 8 drones targeting the country. More from our West Asia correspondent.
The conflict in West Asia is entering a more dangerous phase following the joint United States-Israel strike on Iran's Natanz nuclear facility. Tehran says the site was hit but confirms that there has been no radioactive leakage. In Washington, Donald Trump says military objectives are close to be achieved and has hinted at a possible drawdown of operations. At the same time, he has indicated the United States may step back from securing Strait of Hormuz, calling on other major economies to take on greater role, a move that could reshape regional security dynamics. Earlier, Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian has said Tehran is not seeking war with its neighbors, instead blaming on the United States and Israel for escalating tensions. On the ground, the conflict is widening. Along the Israel-Lebanon border, exchanges between Israel and Hezbollah are intensifying, raising the risk of a broader confrontation. The spillover is also becoming clearer, with drone strike targeting Iraq's intelligence headquarters in Baghdad and Israeli strikes in southern Syria drawing criticism from regional countries over violations of sovereignty. Vinod Kumar, Akashvani News, Dubai.
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. Welcome back. You're with us on the news at 9. The government has approved another 20% allocation of commercial LPG to states, which would take overall allocation to 50%, including 10% allocation based on ease of doing reforms for PNG expansion. This additional percentage of allocation shall be given on priority to sectors like restaurants, dhabas, hotels, industrial canteens, dairy, subsidized canteens and others run by state or local bodies. In this regard, Secretary, Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, Neeraj Mittal, has written to chief secretaries of all states and UTs, saying this allocation will be applicable from Monday. In the letter, he said all commercial and industrial LPG consumers will have to register with oil marketing companies before they can be eligible to be allotted any commercial LPG from the overall 50% allocation. More from our correspondent.
The government has assured citizens that there is no shortage of petrol, diesel or LPG, urging people not to panic as it strengthens response measures amid tensions in West Asia. In a statement, the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas said domestic LPG production from refineries has been increased. It has asked states to take strict action against hoarding and black marketing. The ministry said raids continues across states and UTs to check LPG hoarding and black marketing. Meanwhile, Ministry of Ports, Shipping and Waterways has said it is closely monitoring shipping movements, port operations, safety of Indian seafarers and continuity of maritime trade. The External Affairs Ministry informed that since late February, around 3,30,000 people have returned to India from the region and flights are continuing from several countries and travel arrangements are being made where needed. Aman Yadav, Akashvani News, Delhi.
The BJP's Central Election Committee has released its second list of two candidates for the upcoming assembly elections in Assam. According to the list, Krishna Saha will contest from Dalgaon Assembly constituency and Jibon Gogoi from Sisibargaon Assembly constituency. The Congress has released another list of seven candidates for the upcoming assembly elections in Assam. The party has fielded Bidisha Niyog from Jalukbari seat, Jayanto Bora will contest from Biswanath Assembly seat, while Rahul Roy will be the party candidate from Hailakandi Assembly constituency. Polling for the 126-member Assam Assembly will be held on the 9th of April, while counting of votes will take place on the 4th of May. Chief Electoral Officer of Kerala, Ratan U. Kelkar, has clarified that the news circulating about a reduction in incentives for BLOs in the state is baseless. He stated that as per the directions of the Election Commission of India, an incentive of 2,000 rupees has been fixed for BLOs who participated in the revision of the electoral roll. Meanwhile, prominent candidates from all three fronts have already filed their nominations ahead of the closing date on Monday. KPCC President Sunny Joseph filed his nomination today as the UDF candidate in Peravur. The Bharatiya Janata Party released its third list of candidates today comprising 11 names. T.N. Suresh will contest from Kovalam, V. Ratish from Pyramid and Ajimon from Mavelikara. At the same time, Sudhir Karamana has been announced as the independent candidate of the LDF in Thiruvananthapuram constituency. The deadline for adding names to the voter list in the state is Monday. The polling for the 140-member assembly in Kerala will be held on the 9th of April, while counting of votes will take place on the 4th of May. The Election Commission of India, ECI, has constituted 19 appellate tribunals in West Bengal to hear appeals related to inclusion or exclusion of voters in the electoral rolls as part of the Special Intensive Revision SIR exercise in the state. The ECI said the decision was taken in compliance with the recent order of the Supreme Court and based on the recommendation of the Chief Justice of the Calcutta High Court. The festival of Eid ul-Fitr is being celebrated today with great joy and devotion across the country. The festival marks the culmination of the fasting month of Ramzan. President Draupadi Murmu, Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan and Prime Minister Narendra Modi have extended greetings to people on the occasion. In Delhi, prayers were offered at Delhi's Jama Masjid, Fatehpuri Masjid and Shahi Eidgah. Here is a report from our correspondent.
A large number of people gathered at mosques and Eidgahs in the national capital today to offer prayers for peace, harmony and prosperity. After offering prayers, people greeted each other by embracing and exchanging Eid wishes. Delhi police had measured tight security arrangements across the city in view of the festival. This festival is celebrated at the end of the holy month of Ramzan. Coming after the sacred month, the festival conveys a message of brotherhood and goodwill. During this period, devotees observe fasts from sunrise to sunset for a month. According to religious beliefs, this practice helps in the purification of the soul and the development of self-discipline. Special traditional dishes, including sevaiya, are also prepared at homes on the occasion of Eid. Akshit Vaidyan, Akashwani News, Delhi.
In Haryana, Punjab and Chandigarh, members of the Muslim community offered prayers at Eidgahs and mosques, praying for peace, harmony and brotherhood in the country. In Uttar Pradesh, special prayers were held in many places like Lucknow, Agra, Kanpur, Bijnor, Muradabad, Rampur and Prayagraj. In Telangana, Eid celebrations are underway at various locations, including Hyderabad's Mir Alam Eidgah, Makkah Masjid, Masab Tank Hockey Ground and Sikandarabad's Balam Rai, along with district-level celebrations across the state. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan has said by empowering a skilled workforce, India is building not only its own economic future but also contributing to the world. Addressing the maiden convocation of Ratan Tata Maharashtra State Skills University in Mumbai, he termed the occasion a milestone in India's journey to becoming a global hub of skilled human resources. He urged students to contribute to nation building and the vision of Viksit Bharat 2047, stressing that degrees must lead to employability. In sports, in squash, Abhay Singh has stormed into the men's singles final of Indian Open squash, defeating Malaysia's Amishan Rajchandran 3-1 in the semi-final in Mumbai this evening. In the other men's semi-final, Veer Chotrani will face Sanjay Jiva tonight. In the women's semi-final, Anahat Singh will take on Tanvi Khanna. In Orleans Masters Badminton, top-seeded Nozomi Okuhara ended India's Tanvi Sharma's breakthrough run today, defeating the Indian teenager 21-9, 21-16 in the first semi-final of women's singles at Palais des Sports in France this evening. In the second semi-final, India's Isharani Barua will face Thailand's Pichamon Apatniput tonight. The Indian Meteorological Department, IMD, has forecast thunderstorm accompanied with lightning and gusty winds at isolated places over sub-Himalayan West Bengal and Sikkim tomorrow. According to the IMD, Gangetic West Bengal, Nagaland, Manipur, Mizoram and Tripura, Odisha and West Rajasthan will experience similar conditions. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi speaks with Iranian President Dr. Masoud Pezeshkian on Eid and Nowruz. Both leaders express hope the festive season brings peace, stability and prosperity in West Asia. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh emphasises need for a robust military supported by prepared citizens to protect the nation under any circumstances. Government approves additional 20% allocation of commercial LPG for priority sectors like restaurants, hotels, canteens and dhabas run by state or local bodies. 22 countries including United Arab Emirates, UK, Germany, France, Japan urge Iran to cease attacks and reopen Strait of Hormuz. Eid ul-Fitr marking culmination of holy month of Ramzan being celebrated with religious fervour. In sports, Abhay Singh enters final of Indian Open squash in Mumbai. That is all in the news at 9. Good night.